Welcome to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show, a real estate investment program. Listen and learn how to use real estate to build wealth and passive income streams for you and your family. We bring you experts every day to discuss and answer your questions on everything from single-family homes all the way up to 600-plus unit apartment complexes. And now, the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome to the show. My name is Al Gordon, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. And on today's show, I've asked Gerard to help me work on your financial freedom. Now, Gerard, he's a Lifestyles Unlimited member. As a matter of fact, he got started with our organization 2 months after I did. So Gerard and I actually began around the same timeline. Now, we're different people. Gerard lives on the East Coast. I live in Texas. Gerard got started trying to figure out this retirement stuff in his 30s. Me, I waited until, you know, my late 40s, my 50s before I realized that I had a problem. Gerard, on the other hand, at the age of 37, started realizing that he was just getting a little bit tired of a mediocre lifestyle. I mean, he was looking for something more effective for his life. He wanted something that was getting him closer to what he envisioned retirement being, what a successful career looked like. And as Gerard was doing, you know, the day-to-day business of working in corporate America, he just kind of realized one day that he wasn't getting any closer to where he was trying to get to. So he started researching different avenues. And at the ripe old age of 39, he became a member of Lifestyles Unlimited. Now, let me tell you what Gerard has done in the last 4 years. Okay, now I want you to understand this is a man who is in his early 40s. I also want you to understand he is completely retired. That means he was able to step away from corporate America and he's doing what he chooses to do because 4 years ago, he made an informed decision to stop doing what he had been doing and take a different approach. How about if I just give you the results that Gerard experiences today? You ready for it? He no longer wakes up to an alarm clock. Now, unless he has something very important he wants to do, that alarm clock is out of the picture. He no longer spends 3 hours a day commuting to and from work with, you know, 30,000 other people that are trying to do the exact same thing. He bought back his time from corporate America. Yes, he did. He replaced his W-2 income. That's the income you're working for when you're trading time for money. That's what W-2 income is. He replaced it 2.5 years. You heard me correctly. 2.5 years after he made his first investment in real estate. Now, you think that's enough? Oh, it gets better. Stick around because he tripled his net worth 4 years after making that first investment. So think about it. In 4 years, he tripled his net worth. What have you done with your net worth over the last 4 years? And I know the stock market's doing okay, but I think Gerard's got a better result. And here's my favorite thing. This is the favorite thing that Gerard is enjoying with his new and improved lifestyle. He's living more and he's stressing a whole lot less. So let me do this. Let me bring Gerard onto the show. Let's welcome Gerard to the show. Gerard, how are you, my friend? Welcome to the show. Man, I want to find out how you did this.
Hey, Al. Thanks for having me on the show today. I'm really happy to be here, share my story.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to hear your story. So correct me if I'm wrong, but in your 30s, you were slugging it out in corporate America. I mean, you were on a fast track, weren't you?
I was. You know, I worked for 17 years in corporate America, and like you mentioned earlier in the intro, I wasn't really achieving the results I was hoping for. It was just mediocre results. And, you know, I was putting a lot of time and effort into my job, and I was commuting 3 hours a day, and it was wearing me out. And so my return on time wasn't great. I was living in New York where cost of living is high. So after paying all my bills at the end of the month, there really wasn't much spending money left to enjoy with my family. I was living for the weekends because I was working Monday through Friday. So it wasn't the ideal lifestyle, but I couldn't compare it to anything else because I didn't know any other way.
So what exactly were you doing for a living in corporate America?
I started my career working on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange on Wall Street. And I was a phone clerk interacting with our traders on our institutional trading desk and relaying information to our stockbrokers who then would go into these large crowds and execute buy and sell orders. It's a very fast-paced, hectic environment. Spent a lot of time, you know, watching markets and ordering, monitoring order flow, and a lot of stress, a lot of pressure in that type of work. Over time, I noticed how the industry began to become more electronic. Brokers would be using handheld devices to pull in their orders and execute and send scans instead of just, you know, writing it on these on paper and then just sending it into to the booth where we worked. Over time, it meant that the middlemen were being cut out, and there were a lot of job losses and also mergers and acquisitions. In 2008, I was a victim of downsizing and was out of work for the first time in my life at 30 years old. Fortunately, later in 2008, I picked up work with a company that specialized in electronic trading, and they actually developed their own trading platform. So I worked in customer service, supporting both trading and IT. And there was definitely a learning curve because I did not have the tech background. So I had to lean on a lot of my colleagues for help and just learning on the job. I did that until 2017. And over time, though, I noticed, you know, with these small bonuses and maybe like a $5,000 or $10,000 raise, it just wasn't enough, you know, after taxes and cost of living increases. It was tough.
We're getting ready to go back to break. And when we come back from break, what we're going to find out is that Gerard has done some incredible things to step away from being a trader of stocks and living a lifestyle that he's always wanted. Stick around.
You can't be financially free if you're psychologically imprisoned by disabling belief systems.
Are you ready to break free from your disabling belief systems about money, real estate, retirement, and financial freedom? Then join us for Lifestyles Unlimited's live online free workshop. Learn the belief system that thousands of people like you have used to break free from corporate America and create the lives they have always wanted. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedFreeWorkshop.com.
Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Now, let's get back to your map to financial freedom.
Welcome back to the show. All right. So this is where it gets really fun when you do a real estate investing radio show. And your guest is somebody who spent the vast majority of their life focused on a different asset class, focused on the stock market. So, Gerard, I got to ask you the question, man. What was it like growing up? I mean, were you being taught what success looked like? And if so, what were they teaching you?
Well, Al, like a lot of members, I came from a middle-class family, and I was taught to get good grades in school, which I was able to accomplish. I went to a prestigious college and got a degree and was taught, you know, get a good job so you can make a living and earn money and save, you know, make sure you put money and max out that 401k. And, you know, one day you'll have a nice pile of cash after working for 35 or 40 or even 45 years. My dad was a dentist, self-employed. So, you know, if he didn't work, he wasn't making money. So it is a little bit different, but he never, encouraged me, said, like, you have to become an entrepreneur, become self-employed. When I had that opportunity to work on Wall Street, he encouraged it. It was through a family member who had their own accounting consulting firm and had their books. They had books of like many businesses and stockbrokers, and that was how I got my in and worked there 4 summers through college and then for 7 to 8 years after that. I didn't know any other way to make money besides working a job. And so when I saw the results were not really, increasing at the rate that I was hoping for, I researched other ways to make money and to have a better lifestyle.
So is it safe to say you're a recovering stockbroker? I mean, can we say that on the air?
Yeah, a recovering stock investor would be fair.
Okay. All right. So, man, I'm just kind of taking a step back and I'm just trying to imagine what it's like to be in that fast paced environment of the stock market. I mean, I've seen it on TV and it's nuts. Can you explain to us what it's like being on that trading floor?
It is nuts. I mean, there's lots of people there and, there's people communicating, yelling over other people because, they have sizable orders that need to get executed and there's lots of demands from the traders. And if, the traders don't get what they want, they will, they'll talk down on you because, floor traders and employees are basically the bottom of the totem pole. It's the sales guys and the traders are the ones who make most of the money. They, it's their world. But the environment on the floor, I mean, you've just got people running around everywhere because they've got orders to execute. They've got markets that are constantly changing that they need to communicate to their clerks who have to relay that to their, traders at their firm on those trading desks. It's quite hectic. And you can burn out very quickly. I've seen it happen to people there where they don't have as long of a career as they would have hoped because health issues or other issues.
It's got to be like running a marathon every day. I mean, the physical drain on your body to do that must be just intense.
It is because there are no seats there. You're required to stand from basically 8:30, 9 o'clock in the morning until the market closes at 4 p.m. So it is very demanding physically, like you said. And luckily, I did that in my 20s when I was in physically good shape, but I saw guys who were in their 40s, 50s, and 60s still, walking around every day from post to post and executing their orders, and I don't know how they did it. Very stressful.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably one of those things where, they've conditioned themselves that they just have to do it because otherwise there's no other way to bring income into the household, right?
Right.
So in that 17 years that you spent in that stock industry, how high up the corporate ladder were you able to get?
I would say midway through the corporate ladder. At the last company I worked at, I think I had left with a designation of vice president, and I think there were 2 levels above that, at the executive director and managing director. It changes from company to company. But I do remember that when I announced that I was going to be leaving, and it was around, yearly compensation time, I was due for a promotion. And it's funny, the day that my last day of work, my supervisor said, well, we were going to promote you to, this vice president level, but we couldn't do it at the time that the compensation numbers came out because you told us you were leaving. So just a little tidbit about, corporate America, there's a lot of politics and, it didn't really matter much to me about the title. I was excited to move on and work in a new career and not knowing what that was going to be. There was a lot of unknowns at the time, and I just knew that going back to corporate America was not my first choice.
So how did you wean off of that stock trading world into real estate? I mean, did you just like divest yourself overnight and just start buying real estate, or did you have a strategy that you laid out?
So before I left corporate America, Al, I think it was in 2015, I began listening to a real estate investing podcast, and I started to buy and read real estate investing books. Also joined a coaching program before I joined Lifestyles Unlimited. And I remember clearly the day that I stopped contributing to my 401k, where I went from 18% of paycheck to zero. And I didn't tell anybody about it because I was afraid. People would think, like, are you crazy that you're not, you know, putting money into the 401k? That's what everybody does.
Yeah, I mean,
so
that's
the mindset, right? Yeah. Yeah, that's a mind shift change, and that was early in 2016. And then later in 2016, I had formed a relationship and learned more about turnkey, a single-family turnkey company in Memphis, and I got on their investor list. And, you know, maybe it took 6 months or so for deals to come through as people higher up on the list, you know, find deals and buy those deals. Now you move up the list, and me and a partner bought a single-family property together. It is our first investment, and that was in late 2016, throwing off about $200 a month cash flow. But that was a stepping stone, and that was before, that was while I was still in corporate America, while I was still living in New York, and before, you know, I really knew anything about Lifestyles Unlimited.
So you've been listening to Del Walmsley on the radio. He's been sharing information about how you can change your life. You've made a decision, even though you are immersed in the stock world, you've made a decision to step away from the stock world and actually start investing in a different asset class called real estate. So here's the thing. Everybody around the water cooler is looking at Gerard and going, he is nuts. This is not going to work. And ironically, 4 years later, it worked extremely well. We come back from the break. We're going to get into the details of how he got it done. Stick around.
Everyone is asking, is it still a good time to invest in real estate?
We see no indication that for the foreseeable future, and even the unforeseeable future, no indication whatsoever that real estate is suddenly not going to be the best vehicle for creating wealth and passive income for your family. And so that would say that now is the time to get in. And we very rarely talk about this because we talk about cash flow. But now we're talking a little bit about capital gains and what the future brings in that property. Because it's real. At the end of the day, you have all your cash flow, but you've got this nice capital gain when you sell. And the inflation that we see and the reasons for it are going to continue. And we're going to see great capital gains at the end of the line when we sell these properties.
Get in on the next free workshop. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Warning. Listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show will change your life. We will teach you how to create wealth and passive income so you can be financially free. And now, back to your host.
Welcome back to the show. All right, Gerard, let's get into the details. You want to?
Yeah, I'm ready, Al. Let's do it.
Okay, so 2016, you partner up with a buddy of yours. You buy your first piece of real estate. It's throwing off $200 of cash flow. I mean, at this point, have you in your mind solidified that this is the avenue you're going to take?
Yes, but the plan changed from then until now. I had a plan then of just investing in single-family properties, in turnkey properties, in a few different markets throughout the country, and investing with him. So, you know, I was running numbers to see what they would look like. And then it turns out that after my wife and I came up with this plan to move to Cary, North Carolina, where we knew the quality of life would be better than New York and the cost of living would be much lower than living in New York, that plan changed. And we scrapped that plan of buying single family properties as the primary goal. And after attending a 2-day seminar, 1 month after moving to Cary, I learned that apartment investing was the better choice for me, for my situation of not having a W-2 job, knowing that I could qualify for a loan based on the income of the business and not having a W-2 pay stub for the lender. And I was all in with investing in apartments.
Where did you get the money to invest with?
First thing I did, Al, was I liquidated my 401k. I did that after I joined Lifestyles in 2017. That was the seed money that I needed to go after my first apartment deal. And there was still money left in IRAs that I had. Early in 2018, that's when I decided to take a distribution from that, even knowing that there was going to be 10% penalty for early withdrawal. But I didn't want to defer life. I wanted to go for it now. Instead of waiting 20 years, become 59 and a half, withdraw the money then, and then there would be no penalty. And it's more than worked out in a few short years. So I had seed money from IRAs and 401ks to go after my first investment. And in 2018, I wound up getting into 8 deals total between single family, my first IRO deal, which is a multifamily deal, and then 4 passive deals.
So at this point, how much time are you spending on this real estate business? I mean, if you've got 8 different apartments that you're invested in, you must be spending a lot of extra time managing those, right?
The passive deals, there's no time requirement at all. I'm letting the lead investors taking care of that for me, so I don't have to worry about that. I mean, the most time I'm spending is on my, in 2018 was on my multifamily IRO deal. I did a third-party management, but I basically just managed the manager. And when I went in there and did some rehabs on the interiors, I would project manage those. I would project manage when there was a work to be done there because I felt like I could get it done faster and cheaper than the property manager. So I felt like I needed to do a little bit of work in my free time. So it worked out very well.
So you've got 8 different apartments that you're invested in as a passive investor, meaning you're letting somebody else do all the work, but you're still cashing the checks. And you decided to buy what we call IROs, or independent rental operator properties. In other words, a property that you own all by yourself with your family, nobody else included, correct?
That's correct.
Okay, so why go after these IRO properties? Why not just continue down the path of passively investing? What was it about the IRO properties that caught your eye and made you understand that needed to be a part of your portfolio?
Well, number one, I wanted to have control over the asset, and having complete 100% control, meant that I was going to, take a deal down myself, and I would be able to get what I felt like better returns than I would, get in a passive deal. Remember, so I'm not working at this time, and, I wanted to replace W-2 income that I was not getting anymore after I quit work in 2017. The first IRO property I bought was middle of 2018. It was a 16-unit, fully occupied property with rents below market, so there's some opportunity to go in there and increase rents, increase value, handle some deferred maintenance issues, and just really go in there and take care of problems. So that's been my bread and butter deal. It's my first deal. I've owned it for 3.5 years, and I'm under contract to sell that deal currently.
So how did that particular asset perform for you? I guess let's just go back to the beginning when you found the 16 unit. The market rents were below what you thought they could be. But did you have to go in and do anything to that property in order to command those higher rents, or was it just a function of bad management?
It was a function of bad management. It was definitely a value play. Went in there, and rents at the time were averaging $480 a unit for 2-bed, 1-bath, 800 square foot units. And I've rehabbed 12 of those 16 units. The others have had some sort of partial rehab done to that. Rents today now are at, on average, $735.
When you took over the property, the rents were running $480, but today you're able to command $735 a month for those rents. So that's a pretty significant increase. That's a $255 bump per unit. How did you accomplish that?
Well, we had a budget of about $5,000 to $7,000 per unit, and went in there and, really had to improve everything from flooring to paint, to new appliances, countertops, windows, doors, put in low-flow toilets to help with water conservation because the property is master metered, and I was paying for, you know, the water bill, and I've been able to decrease that significantly under my ownership. You know, replace light fixtures, resurface the tub surrounds. And in terms of deferred maintenance items, we've replaced all four roofs at the property because there are four fourplexes that comprise the 16 units. We've resealed and re-striped the parking lot. We put up handrails on the building landings. A lot of work and capital improvements have gone into this property, but it has significantly increased the value to the point where I am selling the property at three times the price at which I purchased it at.
Say that again, Gerard. I want to hear that.
The property's under contract to sell at three times of the purchase price just 3.5 years ago.
I think that's awesome. I mean, that is incredible. I mean, I'm just messing around with my calculator here and realizing that you were able to push rents up by over 50%. What did you specifically do to find this deal? I mean, were you searching for like 3 or 4 years to find this thing, or how did this thing wind up in your lap?
No, from the time I started searching for multifamily deals, it took about 5 months until I got under contract. I had started a relationship with some brokers in the area, and they were sourcing deals for me, and they sourced this one, which happened to be ownership was a partnership of several people, and they were very motivated to sell. So I picked up the deal at about 10 to 11% under asking price. So it was a very good deal out of the blocks.
Yeah, I'll say it was a good deal. I mean, if you're selling it for over three times what you paid for it, that to me is called a home run. And it's not the only home run Gerard has had. When we come back from the break, we're going to get into some of its other deals. Stick around. When you look at the effects of what happened in 2008 and you compare it to what we are hopefully coming out of right now, real estate has definitely shown its resiliency. It has provided for people not only a place to live, but a place to work, a place to raise their children, a place to teach their children, a place to prepare all of their meals.
And that's really where the rubber meets the road, is that there are two things that people have to have, and they strive very hard to have them, and that's a roof over their head and food on the table. And if you are investing in something related to either of those two things, you are going to have a winning strategy. And in addition to that, you're providing something of value to the people around you, and creating a win-win situation while creating wealth and passive income for yourself is the best life you can get.
Real estate is resilient. You should have real estate in your portfolio. Join us for the next live online free workshop. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. It's time to turn up the volume and fine-tune your passive income plan so you can create the lifestyle you've always wanted.
Welcome back to the show. All right, so in the last segment, Gerard was telling us about the 16-unit property that he bought, and he literally hit a home run, and that's not a World Series comment. That is literally what Gerard was able to accomplish. So, Gerard, let me just ask you, what is it like to take ownership of a piece of property that isn't doing very well, knowing full well that you can turn that property around and you can bring back its glory days and really make it a beautiful place for people to call home, and compare that to being in the pits of the trading floor?
Wow, it's like night and day, Al. I mean, it's just been such a great confidence booster. You know, it feels great to hear, you know, residents say, you know, this apartment is gorgeous, and to know that I was able to put my footprint on it and you know, spend the money to make it a really nice place for them to live and to, you know, command higher rent, affordable rent. Yeah, I mean, just compared to working in the pits, and there is no comparison, because like, you're getting beaten down every day, not just physically, but mentally, by traders who, if things don't go the way they want, they've got to blame somebody. So that's the difference between, you know, working in corporate America and working as a real estate investor. Just complete mindset shift.
Even the most stressful piece of real estate investing can't be even close to the stress you experienced in trading stocks.
No, real estate is a team sport. So if there's a problem, there's going to be someone on the team that can, you know, we can put our minds together and solve the problem. I don't know, in corporate America, there's not as much control. If you're sort of bottom of the barrel, you don't really get to be part of those important decisions. Someone else is going to have the control and make those decisions for you or for the firm. So it's like night and day being involved, you know, working in corporate America in the stock market versus being an apartment investor in real estate.
So last Christmas, you went and got yourself another apartment community, did you not?
Yes, I did.
What'd you get?
I got an 11 unit. Santa was good. And what I was able to do, which I failed to mention in the last segment, was the first deal, the 16 unit here in North Carolina, I was able to do a cash out refinance last August. And I was able to take those proceeds and use those proceeds for the down payment for an 11 unit townhome property in Rock Hill, South Carolina. And that was my Christmas gift last December. Completely different property from the first one. This was a yield play. So going in there, rents were significantly higher than they were on the first deal because prior ownership had rehabbed the property from soup to nuts. So the interiors looked great, good looking product, and it was commanding very high rents for the market. In almost 1 year of ownership, I've been able to increase rents 5%, and we're still below market rates. So there is great opportunity to bump rents at least $125 to $150 on turns. So it just provides a very solid opportunity for income growth and value growth.
Wow. So I'm sitting back and I'm listening to all of this and I'm going, this is pretty cool, because you took money that had been invested in those retirement accounts, those 401ks, those IRAs, and you went and bought yourself a 16 unit. Not only did you improve that 16 unit, you pulled a bunch of money out of that property, all tax-free, because you did a cash out refinance, right?
Right.
Yes. So now you got this big bag of money. Come on, man. Didn't you want to go buy jet skis or a boat or something like that?
I want to take all my buddies to Vegas and party.
Oh.
I'm just kidding.
Oh, I'm cool with that. Hey, I'll go with you. Is that an invite?
on the next refi, Al.
It's all good, baby. It's all good. So, but this is the beauty of all this. You didn't have to go out and find another big bag of money. You basically created a bag of money by buying that 16 unit and by repositioning it in the marketplace and improving it. You're able to take money out of that property, but that property is still producing cash flow for you. And now you bought an 11 unit, which is a completely different kind of property that still has the ability to produce great returns for you, even though it's a different type of real estate. I think that is so cool.
Yeah, you know, Al, I just decided I wanted to follow the map and repurpose the debt equity that was in the first deal and pull it out. It wasn't the maximum, you know, refinance proceeds I could have done, but, you know, this was also during COVID, and the bank that was servicing the loan from the onset, from closing, you know, was able to provide strong enough terms for me to, you know, move forward with the refinance, pull that debt equity out, and then use that, repurpose it to buy the next IRO deal. It's not the biggest deal, 11 units, but it's in a great market. It's captured in the Charlotte MSA, and Charlotte is growing leaps and bounds right now. We have just tons of population growth in North and South Carolina. Rock Hill, which is only 35 minutes drive to Charlotte, is a great market as well, with job growth and rent growth. And I'm excited about this property 1 year into ownership.
So you're selling the first property, correct? I mean, or have you sold it, or are you selling? Where are we at with that first property?
I am under contract to sell it. If all works out, fingers crossed, it should close in the middle of December. And I'm looking to do a 1031 exchange and use those proceeds to buy something bigger and better, hopefully anywhere between a 24 to a 36 unit property with larger cash flow. And I'll be able to defer the tax by taking advantage of the 1031 exchange IRS code.
What does that do for you?
Well, it allows me to defer the taxes now. And if I were to hold this property, you know, up until the time I pass, then there would be a step up in basis, and my heirs would not be subject to the taxes on that property.
Yeah, I think, you know, that 1031 is a really neat thing that exists in our tax code, and I've had the opportunity to take advantage of it myself. And I think the beautiful thing is it allows you to keep all of your gains and to move those gains on to the follow-on property without eroding right. those gains by having to pay the taxes that would be due. Now, technically, the taxes are still due. You've just made an arrangement with the government to move that liability onto the new property.
Yeah, like kicking the can down the road.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you're going from like a 16 unit to maybe a 24 or a 30 unit, what does that do for you from like maybe a cash flow position? Does that benefit you? Does that create a problem for you? What are you thinking?
Well, it creates a benefit because a larger property should throw off larger cash flow. So my goal is to find a property that would be able to command $2,000 to $3,000 more a month cash flow by being able to execute this 1031 exchange. And so now that allows my monthly cash flow to increase, which is a great benefit. You know, my goal is to exceed $10,000 a month passive income by hopefully the first quarter next year. And the only way to get there is to find a larger cash flow property than the one that I'm about to sell.
So it's really just a part of a grander strategy that you have to eliminate certain assets and trade them in for assets that have better potential for returns for you.
Correct. Plus, there's a lot of equity trapped in the property I'm selling right now, and I'd like to get that put that equity to good use in buying a bigger, better cash flowing property.
So what does it feel like knowing that you're providing the best product at the best price and attracting the best people to your properties?
It's an incredible feeling. You know, there is a good amount of work to have a strategy to, you know how to make the right improvements based on what, you know, properties in the submarket are doing. I can't think of a better way to be a business owner and command cash flow. I mean, this is way different than working in the stock market and trying to make money off investments.
How much time are you spending a week managing your real estate business?
Less than 10 hours a week. I mean, it could be 5 to 10 hours a week. I include property visits as part of my time when I go out to my real estate investments. I don't have to be there often because I do have third-party management, but I do like to see the asset and see how people live. I will go out there and just, you know, pick up trash and just see what's going on out there. And when residents see me, they love to come to me and voice their concerns. Let me know what type of improvements they're looking for, or what kind of concerns they have. So I always have an open ear for them.
I love it, Gerard. I love it. I love the fact that you've radically changed your life, and now life is just what you want it to be. Folks, you can do this too. You can do exactly what Gerard did, but you have to get started. Go to LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com.
Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit LifestylesUnlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. Join us next time. And until then, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.